Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that Isaiah was given that glimpse in Isaiah 6 when he was called, where the angel came and took the coal and placed it on his lips and forgave his sin and gave him the call to go out and to share with your people. Even there, he warned that some would have their hearts hardened and their ears closed, and they would not be healed, and they would not receive salvation. And yet, in Isaiah 25, you give him this wonderful vision of the feast on the mountain. And Lord, today we want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it over and over again in your prayer. And yet, Lord, we want to see it happen here in our midst. You said to the people in the beginning of Mark's gospel, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And in John's gospel, you told them that the kingdom is here. And Lord, we know that your kingdom has come. And Lord, we want to walk according to your will so we can know the peace and the joy, the authority and the power that you have given to your people. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you're a visitor here. I apologize. It's kind of an in-house thing, but I don't know if you realize this, but there's something special about this place. And I don't say that lightly because I'm the pastor and I'm... I say that because every time I go away, and I was just away, I left last Friday and got back yesterday, and I was up in Canada, and last week I got to go to service, and it was a great service. The music was good. The preaching was good. It was 15 minutes, by the way, the sermon. So, just in case you think I'm too long... That's Canadian time. Yeah, it was good, but there's something about this place, and it's not the place, the brick, wood, even the new brick, it's not that, it's the spirit. Walking into here this morning, amazed by the spirit's presence in this place, and it's because of prayer, it's because of the people. It's because we're a family. I just want to tell you how awesome it is to be here this morning. On Friday, my doctor phoned, well, actually, the nurse phoned and spoke for the doctor, and said that my MRI turned out good, and I guess from a doctor, that's about the best I'm going to get. It's good, and so I know that it's proof of my healing, and for that reason, I was very thankful. I also got to go off some of those drugs that really have bad side effects, which I'm very thankful for, and I praise God for that. But there's something special about being with people who understand that the Bible is true, that the Lord keeps his promises, and that his kingdom is here. Because there's so many people who think only of the kingdom being when we get to heaven, but they forget that the victory was won on the cross, and it was proven in the resurrection. Kind of a theme there, cross and resurrection. We have the kingdom, and the Lord desperately wants his people to walk in kingdom power. And for so many people around the world, they pray the Lord's Prayer, and what do they say? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, do you really think that the Lord would give his disciples this prayer to pray if he thought it was only going to happen at the end of time? Really? No, he expected that the kingdom was going to be lived out, that the kingdom would be coming, that throughout their lives they would see the authority and the power that Jesus gives to the people who are his, who belong to him, who believe in him, and who want to become more like Him. He wants us to move in kingdom power. He wants us to see healing. He wants us to take on the spirits that don't realize yet that they were defeated, who still think they can win the battle. And I just got to tell you, it's awesome to be in a place where God's Spirit is allowed to move and where His power is expected. Amen? It's awesome. Because I'm here to tell you, it's so seldom happens to me because I don't get to go away on Sundays. So seldom happens to me that I can go and see that there are places where we talk about it, but it's not something we experience. And I want to tell you, there's something special when we understand this Isaiah passage is special to me, because if you are still here when I pass on, my hope is to die in the pulpit. So that's why I don't stand behind here very much. But you get what you pray for. But this is an amazing passage of Scripture. Isaiah wrote after the reign of King Uzziah. We heard that in Isaiah 6 this morning. He prophesied destruction and judgment from chapter 13 all the way through to 23. And then in 24, 25, and 26, he has this amazing, and I just think the Spirit must have come upon him in a powerful way, because it's amazing praise time of praise. And he talks about the fact that Jerusalem is going to be redeemed, that the people of Israel will be redeemed, and that there will be this feast. And I love this for a passage at a funeral, because it is what we are expecting. What Revelation talks about is what St. John talked about in Revelations when he talked about the marriage feast, the Lamb and His kingdom, which will have no end. And it says, on this mountain, there will be a feast. It'll be a wedding feast, because it'll have the best meats and the finest of aged wine. It is going to be the best. And on this mountain where people feared death, where they feared the things of this world, it says these powerful words, and I it's just so amazing when you hear them. It says, on this mountain He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Just think about that. All the things that we fear, all the things that cause us a lack of peace, all the things that cause us a lack of hope, all the things that cause us a lack of joy, those things that shroud us. How many of us have felt those things that shroud us? Yeah. I think we've all gone through those times. And can you imagine the people of Israel? There was no security. They just heard of the judgment. Isaiah prophesied the judgment that would come. Here he's living in Jerusalem and he's prophesying the judgment on Jerusalem. And he tells them that all their stress and all their anxiety and all those things that zap their peace, their joy, and their hope, all those things will be taken away. Death will be swallowed up with victory. We hear St. Paul talking about that, right? 1 Corinthians. Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's gone. And he says, it's just, I just can't get over the amazing words he uses. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. When we think about the sovereign Lord, we recognize that's the Lord we serve. And He will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This is His promise. He's put His seal on this. We can trust in this. I love this. We're going to use Philippians chapter 4 for our confession of faith today. And it says, rejoice the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And it tells us why we should rejoice. Because we can take all of our anxieties, all those things that burden us, all those things that shroud us, and we can give them to the Lord in prayer, and we can receive from Him the peace that passes all worldly understanding. Because the world will never understand the kingdom. I love those words in that song, the kingdom of this world, it shall become the kingdom of our God. You see, brothers and sisters, the truth of this passage of Scripture is so immense because it, listen to the words of the people as they respond to this powerful image of the marriage feast. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. You see, the parable you heard that we call the gospel lesson. Every time I read a parable that ends like that, I think, how can you say this is the gospel of our Lord? It says, many are invited, but few are chosen. He casts out this guy out of the feast because he wasn't wearing the wedding garb, wedding clothes. He invites all these people, and because they go about their business, because they kill the messenger, he burns their cities. He brings about justice. It doesn't sound like good news unless you understand the context. The context of this is it's after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's talking to the leaders of the people of Israel, and he's saying, you have been invited over and over and over and over again. You've been invited to see the kingdom power. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The king prepares a marriage feast. Isn't that what Isaiah is all about, Isaiah 25? He's created a marriage feast. It's that simple. The best of meats and the finest of wines. The most amazing feast. And he invites all the people who belong to him, who deserve invitation, which are the people of Israel, the covenant people. And he says to them, come, the marriage feast is ready. And what do they say? Ah, busy. More important things to do. Got business. Or else they beat up and kill the messenger. And he's talking about the people of Israel. And haven't they done that over and over again? When he has the woes for Jerusalem, he says, have you not persecuted every prophet sent to you? Did they not persecute the prophets? Yes. And then he goes on to talk about the individual, and he says to them, his messengers, go out and invite everyone, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's my translation. Everyone. Those who were not invited before, invite them. Invite them all. Isn't that good news? That's good news. That's good news because that's us. People who weren't born into Israel. That's us. Invite them all. Good, bad, doesn't matter. Invite them. Now, this is something. So they invite them, and it says the marriage feast is full. Remember the gospel lesson? Marriage feast is full. Now the king comes in to the banquet. And he sees an individual. And we know from history that if you were invited to a marriage banquet, just like we provide if you come to a reception, when you have a wedding in our country, most of the time we provide food, right? We provide a place. Might provide chairs. You never know. Table. Well, in this country, at this time, the king would give the guests marriage clothes, marriage robe. And you were given this. This was a gift. This is what you were given when you went into the feast. Well, someone says, no, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to, no way, I'm not putting that on. I'm going to do it my way. There's that little thing called what? Pride. Oh, it sneaks in there, right? And he goes in and he sits down and he says, you know, I want to come to this wedding feast on my terms. And what does the king do? Toss them out. You see, the invitation is for so many. But the reality is, until we can have a response like the people do in Isaiah 25, until we can understand that this is the God in whom we trust, this is the God who won salvation for us. It's nothing that we do. It is just like the invitation to the banquet. It's something that is free. It is something that is given by grace. I get a little excited about this. Because it's awesome, isn't it? And brothers and sisters, there are so many people out there waiting to be invited. Thinking that they have no right to be invited. Thinking that they don't belong. Thinking that it's something they have to earn. And yet the Lord is saying in this parable that you are being invited. And he is even giving you the robe of righteousness. Because Jesus did all the work. He paid the price on the cross. He's risen again from the dead. He's won victory over sin, death, and the devil. He wants us to walk in kingdom power. He wants us to be in a robe of righteousness. And he wants us to be inviting. And I think he wants us to move in kingdom power because he wants people to know that there's power in his word. And his invitation is an amazing and powerful and true promise. That when you're invited and you simply say, I come. Here am I, Lord, I come. I'm ready. Take me. That he is there. That he does it all. Do you know anybody out there that hasn't heard the invitation? No? My prayer is that through this family, through this church, we can let everyone know that there's a marriage feast. And it is so amazing. There is healing. There is power. There is authority. There is grace. There is love. And there's hope. A hope that will never disappoint. And that it's free. It's free. And that people would respond and receive what God has for them. And they would be like the people in Isaiah. People like us. People who know it's not up to us, who say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. It's not our salvation. It's his salvation. It's a gift. And the invitation is for us and for everyone. May we all hear it and respond, rejoicing and being glad in his salvation. Then we will have the peace that passes all understanding. Then we will know what we're going to confess in our confession today. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Let us stand as we confess our faith. And instead of using the Apostles' Creed today, we're going to read together Philippians chapter 4.